This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International.
In 1924, Ralph C. Smedley, the director of education for the local YMCA in Santa Ana, California, recognized the need for training in the art of public speaking and in presiding over meetings. And so, on October 22, 1924, Smedley convened the first meeting of what would go on to be known as Toastmasters International.
85 years later, Toastmasters International serves more than 250,000 members in over 12,000 clubs across 106 countries. Toastmasters International is recognized worldwide as the premier organization for training in communication and leadership skills.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts. This is a very special Toastmasters podcast, considering it is the 85th anniversary of Toastmasters International.
Amazing.
So we're going to do something a little bit different this episode. We are going to be interviewing three separate Toastmasters. It's kind of like that whole Christmas story, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Toastmaster of Christmas past, present, and future.
Right.
We're going to be interviewing one of the longest-standing members of Toastmasters International. Very interesting gentleman. We are going to be speaking after with two other Toastmasters from different countries outside the U.S. that are fairly recent to Toastmasters International. So we're going to get a good sense of how Toastmasters International has helped people all over the world. Now, one thing to remember is Toastmasters International is not just about public speaking, is it, Ryan?
No, there's more than public speaking.
And besides public speaking, what else is there?
Well, there's communication skills in general, leadership skills, personal development. There's a whole lot wrapped up in Toastmasters.
Well, let's get right into the interviews, and we'll see you at the end of the show.
Joining us on the show now is Michael K. Avedisian.
Right.
He's an advanced Toastmaster, a member of Reading Club 714, and he has been a member of that club since February of 1955. That makes Mike the longest standing Toastmaster in the world. Mike, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, sir.
That's right. So, Mike, I understand you left Germany in October 1954, came to the United States and joined Toastmasters. Why did you decide to join Toastmasters?
Well, I made every effort in Germany before coming to America to study the English language. It didn't work very well. But when I came here, I knew that I have an engineering degree. I knew that in order to get a good job, I have to speak the language of the country, which was English, and I hope still is. Friends of friends suggested I join the Toastmasters. My English was very poor, hardly any, and the members, only males at that time, they were very patient with me. They corrected me, they helped me with vocabulary and particularly pronunciation. One thing Toastmasters could not do for me was to help me get rid of my accent. When I come here, I like to melt into the society. I don't want to bring my culture, my language, or my habits back to America. I like to become an American, and that's what I did.
All right, fair enough.
My wife and I, we are both from Germany. We both speak, of course, German. But at home, in our everyday conversation, we never use German. We speak English because that's the language of the country.
Ah. Yeah.
Very good.
I bet if you went back to Germany, everybody would tell you you speak German with an American accent.
Probably.
All right. So why did you stay in Toastmasters for so long? You're going on, what, 54, 55 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, they did a lot for me. They were so patient to help me a great deal. My first speeches which I made at Toastmasters were hardly understandable, but they stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I owe Toastmasters a great deal.
So, Mike, in all the years you've been a member of Toastmasters, beyond improving your English, which is certainly an important benefit that you gained, what were some of the other benefits that you gained as a Toastmaster?
The benefits that I can stand up and speak today to any kind of a group of people, which I have done many times. I have no hesitations to stand up and talk subjects which I should be familiar with. I don't like to sell information which I'm not sure about.
Right.
And I understand also that you credit Toastmasters with saving your engineering career. What's the connection there, Mike?
I joined a small engineering company, and after 5 years, I wanted to join the Western Electric Company. And I submitted my papers, and I was told, well, if I were American citizen, I would be hired, but first I have to become citizen to work for the Western Electric Company. So I worked for that for that company, another one later, for 5 years until I became citizen, and I went back to Western Electric, and then I was hired. And talking about the benefits, we used to do work mainly for the government. And every 3 months I had to write a report about my work and also stand up and give a presentation. So that's how Toastmasters helped me, and I benefited from my training.
Wow, wonderful.
Over the past 55 years, you must have some amazing stories. Can you share one with us?
Well, the most important actually is my presentations every 3 months about the work I was doing. You see, I was involved with Western Electric right in the beginning of the development of the semiconductor industry. My boss, he told me later that he was very much concerned that I will not be able to present my the results of my work. He was pleasantly surprised that I could do it. And I owe this to the Toastmasters.
Oh, you could probably do a better job than he could, right?
No. I had good bosses.
Gotcha.
Well-educated people.
Sure.
And so, Mike, you're still attending your Toastmasters Club, is that right?
I haven't attended in a long time, but now, coming Monday, I would like to go to a meeting.
Oh, very good. Very good. And so our listeners know, you told me yesterday over the phone, but how old are you, Mike?
88.
88 years old and still going strong with Toastmasters. That's fantastic.
Good for you.
Well, Toastmasters did a lot for me. You see, I don't forget those things.
Sure.
I remember the members in that time, 1955, 56, and how they helped me. They could hardly understand me when I was speaking, but they stuck with me and I stuck with them.
Okay, Mike, it's been great speaking with you. Congratulations on your long-standing accomplishments with Toastmasters International. So it is 55 years you're going on. That's a long time.
Yeah. It was a lucky thing. I was invited, I don't know what affair it was, in the house of some friends, and there was a gentleman there who suggested I should join Toastmasters. And I remember my sponsor's name, Jack Pritt. He sponsored me. We needed sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is still true today. And I joined, and I benefited a great deal. I would not have been able to do the work at Western Electric in those days if I would not have had the experience and training with Toastmasters.
Well, thank you, and hopefully one day we'll get to meet you. Do you do conferences anymore, international conferences?
No.
No. All right. Well, maybe next time we're down in your neck of the woods, we'll bump into you.
The great state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Nice speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You take care. And joining us now from Istanbul, Turkey, is a Toastmaster named Denise Schenelt. She's been a member since 2007, and it is my pleasure to welcome her to the Toastmasters podcast now. Welcome, Denise.
Welcome, Denise.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us today. So, Denise, tell us a little bit about Toastmasters in Istanbul.
Yeah, it's a big story, actually, because we are the first Toastmaster chapter in Istanbul, a Toastmaster club in Istanbul, because actually I met with Toastmasters when I was in the U.S. in 2000, and then I returned around 2002, and I looked for Toastmasters in Istanbul, and I saw none, which was a surprise. There was one club in Ankara, which is the capital city of Turkey, and I contacted them and said that how come they don't have Toastmasters club in Istanbul? And they said, yeah, we also want to have one, and there is some other people who are willing to do. Here is their numbers, try it yourself. So I contacted with another guy who was also willing to charter a club, and then we tried, and it didn't work at 2002. And at 2007, there was another guy who came from US, also contacted this Ankara club, and they gave my number and some other guy's number. And in the end, we get all together and we gathered our friends and we chartered the club finally.
All right. Wow.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
So it took about 6 years from...
But on and off. I mean,
sure.
In 2002, we tried a couple of months and it didn't work out. And some people go away and some people still kept interested. And it's kind of faded away and then came back.
Sure. You know, I bet a lot of stories are just like that in terms of trying to get clubs going. When people give it a try at first, and if you don't succeed, well, try again. That's what they say.
That's right. That's right.
Even if it takes 6 years.
If you don't have many people around that knows about it, it's so hard to start. I mean, if you have one club at least, then you can start the next one.
Sure.
But
gotcha.
We didn't have that many people around. And you know, now it's easier even to contact with the Toastmasters headquarters and some other experienced people all over the world because of the technology. But in 2002, the emailing was not that fast. I mean, the phones, the networks, the Facebook or whatever kind of networks were not like this.
Right.
So recently, it's kind of easier to get to know what is the next step or what you can do to face this challenge or so.
Gotcha.
Denise, could you share with us a little about your personal motivation for bringing Toastmasters to Istanbul and to getting involved in a club?
Actually, I'm a trainer myself. I'm giving a lot of trainings, doing some coaching. And in 2000, I met with Toastmasters in New York, and I was fascinated with the system of it, especially with the manuals and the Toastmaster magazine, because it was having a lot of information packaged inside, and you can really develop yourself and you can see the change. You can see how you're developing. So I was like, wow, this looks like a training itself. So I should make it available to more people in my city, because there's a lot of people in Istanbul that can benefit from this system with its manuals and magazines. So that's why I really like it.
Very good. And how have you benefited personally?
The funny story is when I first started really following up the manuals, I was thinking, come on, I'm a trainer myself. I did a lot of speeches in front of a lot of people that many hours. And, you know, this system looks nice, but I don't think I will really benefit. And as soon as I started following up with the project, I saw that it's really changing my style. I was like, wow, how come even I'm a seasoned trainer, how come I'm still finding points of improvement? So it really changed a lot of parts of my training style and my own stage performance style. And besides that, besides this public speaking part of Toastmasters, actually, I also benefited a lot from the network, from the experienced people. Because
sure.
Now I have a lot of international Toastmaster people in my network, in my fingertips, that if I have a question, I can write them an email or even I can chat with them and ask how did they face that? What did they benefit? How did they change? Or, for example, I have a lot of speech contest winners also in my network, just an email away. So if I want to do something, I can just ask them. So I like this experienced people network also that the Toastmasters provides.
I'm curious, in your country, in your city, do you get a lot of tourists that come to the city for business or for vacation and decide to stop in your club?
Yes, a lot. You just touched a very good point, because we are just in the heart of Istanbul, and Istanbul is a place that a lot of tourists are coming any time of the year, actually. They always find us in the internet. We have a good, a nice website that's also in line with the Toastmasters. And they email us. So we always reply saying that, oh, please come. We are meeting, of course, this Wednesday, and we are waiting you.
There
so
you go.
Every meeting, at least we are having two or three international guests.
Wow,
and
that
is great.
Every meeting we are having at least five, sometimes even 10 guests. Altogether, some Istanbul people and some international.
Very nice. How many members do you have in your club that come on a regular basis?
We have 58 members.
Ooh.
We came to the point of 58 members at one point, but normally around 30 members are coming frequently in every meeting.
Sounds like you need another club. Break that big group up.
Yes, that's the point. We are working on it, but. The leadership is a problem, because we are not sure that we have that enough people to lead another club and that has some experience.
Right.
Mm. So we are working.
Well, yeah. That usually is the challenge.
Hey, could you talk a little bit about the leadership track of Toastmasters? Is that something you've been a part of and benefited from?
Yes, very much. As I'm one of the founders, I naturally needed to be one of the leaders. And while doing that, I also followed up the competent leadership manual, because it was step by step telling you what can you do, and also it gives you the chance that some others are evaluating your leadership style. So in two ways I was in the leadership track of Toastmasters. One is more hands-on everything, kind of, because I was the founding secretary and then I was the president. So while gathering these officers and trying to apply the system of Toastmasters, while trying to make the meetings as it's supposed to be, I was showing some leadership and trying to improve in that side. And secondly, also I was following up this competent leadership manual, doing all the steps and also getting evaluated by that steps in that project, in that manual.
Very good.
Why don't you, or can you, share a great story or experience that you had with Toastmasters?
The great story that I would like to share in this point is the Toastmasters International Convention. I decided to go to that convention in US this year because I thought there will be a lot of things and motivation and inspirational stories that I can bring back with me and share it with my members and my officers, so that they will get inspired and they will get more motivated and they will follow up with those masses. And also next year, maybe more people will go from our club to the Toastmasters convention.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly it happened that way. The first thing, how I benefited or how it became a great story for me, is how well I am welcomed. Because what I saw, there was a lot of members who were participating in this convention, this international convention, at least 10th or even 20th time. So they were really knowing everything about Toastmasters, and I was kind of feeling really the newbie. But it happened to be that those people are really inviting you to their conversations or showing you the way, willing to mentor you, what you should see, what you should do, who I should meet, who I should talk to. So it was very interesting, because at the second moment after the first one, I felt really like a part of that Toastmasters convention. So it was really impressive. I got a lot of things out of it. and I had a lot of stories to tell back when I come to my club. And it was, I think, also very inspirational or very motivational to some of my members that next year probably will go more people. And I think I will follow up with those conventions and I will become one of these seasoned Toastmasters members who are always going to that convention.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you get to carry the flag for your country?
Yes. Yes. Cool. That was me.
All right.
I saw you. I was there.
Yeah. I saw you. You were on the table with that podcasting table.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And when you were carrying the flag, Ryan was the one jumping up and down on the table.
Oh, my
God. You probably missed him.
Oh, my
God. He was the one being escorted out by the big bodyguard.
The security.
For being too rambunctious in the crowd.
I got a little excited.
Yeah. Well, Denise, it's been fantastic speaking with you. Thank you very much for sharing this information, the story with us.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure we will see you in California.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you in Palm Desert.
Yes, I'm already making the plans of it. I will be there.
Yeah, bring your friends.
Even I'm planning to work on my speeches so that one day I will win this international competition.
There you go.
All right, that's a goal.
Awesome. Way to go. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And joining us on the show, all the way from Shanghai, China, is Rebecca Hong. Rebecca, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Now, Rebecca, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
I am professionally, I'm actually a freelance doing conference interpreting, providing simultaneous conference interpreting services to conferences.
Okay.
At the same time, I'm also doing training. I'm a freelance trainer, so I train on soft skills, communication, and management skills.
So, Rebecca, what made you decide to get involved in Toastmasters all the way back in December of 2003?
Wow, you got the date.
Yeah.
That's actually a very interesting story, because I think it was in summer that year, in 2003. I had a gathering with one of my high school classmates who actually sit next to me in high school. So we met and I asked him the question, what are you doing in your spare time? He said, I'm joining Toastmasters. I said, what is it? He said, it's very complicated. I cannot really explain it simply in simple words. So you just need to come to the meeting. So I feel very mysterious. The organization is very mysterious. So I went to the meeting with him. That was one of the only three clubs in Shanghai at that time. Oh, two, actually, only two clubs. There are only two clubs, one of the two clubs. But I didn't join. I attended the meeting for a couple of times. I didn't feel really right, something not right, mm-hmm. until it was in November 2003. I went to another club, which is the new club, the third club in Shanghai. They're called Shanghai People's Square Toastmasters. I immediately feel attracted to the club, and I decided to join on the first meeting I went to.
Oh, very good. Very good. And how has your membership in Toastmasters benefited you since then?
Yeah, Toastmasters really is a great, like the mission statement describes, it's really a good organization for people to develop communication and leadership skills. It's really delivering the promise. And if using one word, the benefit will be confidence. Every individual member, including myself, really feel the confidence I've gained from joining Toastmasters. And specifically speaking, I think first thing will be communication. I really learned, I still remember my first icebreaker. And I think I was pretty confident as a speaker. But really giving a public speech, I feel very nervous, made a lot of R's, looking at the ceiling, don't know how to put my hands. But throughout the years, I really learned the science and art of public speaking. You know, I learned how to capture audience mind and heart. I know how to do it. Mm. There's form of doing it. And there's the benefit of leadership skills. You really learn by doing. Currently, I'm the district governor for District 85.
And oh, wow.
I'm very young. I really learned from taking like various club officer roles, area officer roles, then division level to district level, the opportunities of learning leading by leading, really a very tremendous benefits for an individual.
Wow, this may be a silly question. Are the clubs run in English or in Chinese?
In China, District 85,
right.
I would say probably 90 to 95% of the clubs are in English.
Okay.
And then that will be either Mandarin or bilingual clubs.
So the clubs that you belong to, were they English or Chinese speaking?
I belong to an English speaking club.
Okay, so I bet that probably helped you quite a bit with your English skills. I mean, you sound like you've been here in the country for many years, but you haven't, have you?
No, I haven't. I haven't really had any overseas studies experience or working experience. And I definitely have to thank Toastmasters for helping me improving my verbal or my colloquial English speaking skills. Mm-hmm. So although I have a master's degree in English linguistics, education background, in China, didn't really have much opportunity to speak English. But joining Toastmasters, practice speaking, giving speeches, listening to English like on a weekly basis really helped me a lot. And also on another level will be, I think Toastmasters in China is a great platform for people to be exposed to like a greater world. It's like, for example, my home club now, which is Shanghai Leadership Club, it's like a small United Nations. We have members from all kinds of nationalities, Malaysia, Singapore, UK, US, even Hungary. So it just, you get to know different kinds of people from different background, different culture. You're really exposed to many things and many people.
Yeah, so it sounds like the benefits beyond public speaking are also too numerous to list here.
Yes.
But we covered a few of them. That's good. Rebecca, do you have any great stories or experiences that you could share with us related to your Toastmastering?
I have many good stories to share. And
just one.
I will pick one story. Actually, today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And the reason I mentioned this is because 3 years ago, it's also on the same day, my birthday, I was the conference chair of the host of the conference for China's first ever national conference. At that time, we are still a provisional territory council, even before district.
Ah.
So I was very lucky to have the opportunity to host the conference.
Did you say it was a national conference?
Yes, national conference meaning all the clubs in China is first time gathered together.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have those here in the States. That's interesting.
Yes, and we had Johnny Ui come to the international president in that year, coming to the conference. And I really feel it's a great opportunity for myself to really be confident, because we have about 350 audience in a big theater kind of a room, and I really feel that I can influence the people. I can make people laugh. People like the way how I hosted the conference. They really like the conference, partly maybe because I hope I did a good job. So I really felt that's really making myself feel confident. Great. And also a touching note will be at the end of the conference, one of the district officers at that time, who is the international director in this year, Keith Ostergaard, came to the stage and asked all the conference and attendees, 350 people, sing happy birthday for me. So that was first ever, and probably will not happen again.
Wow. Well, Ryan and I could sing for you if that would bring back old memories.
We could recreate that special moment for you right here.
You know what? I don't think we can, because we'd have to pay a royalty to the happy birthday people.
That's right.
So let's not and pretend we did. We'll just end this conversation with a sincere happy birthday. You don't want to give out your age, do you? Maybe you do.
No.
Okay, we don't.
She did say she's young. Okay. So probably.
Yeah, very.
So we'll assume older than 18 and younger than 90. Okay.
Somewhere in there.
All right. Okay, Rebecca, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us and sharing these stories. We really appreciate it. All right, you take care.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. If you heard our sponsor message at the beginning of this podcast, you might be wondering, what is this PowerPoint karaoke thing all about? PowerPoint karaoke is a fun way to practice improv speaking skills and poke a little fun at PowerPoint abusers in the process by presenting slides to the audience that you have never seen before. Amation is sponsoring this PowerPoint karaoke contest and will send a special PowerPoint karaoke starter kit to any Toastmaster who wants to host an event. Videos of the PowerPoint presentations will be voted on and will be eligible for the national grand prizes of up to $5,000 in cash. Events must take place before October 31st in order to qualify for the national contest. For details and to sign up as a host for one of these events, visit PowerPointKaraoke2009.com. And that'll do it for the special anniversary edition. And if you have any listener feedback for this episode or any others, we'd love to hear from you. You can send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTMPodcast. Or you can give us a call and leave us your best two-minute table topic feedback speech thing. And Ryan, what's that number?
That number is 1-888-451-8862.
And once again, it is a voicemail, so you do have up to 2 minutes, so you got to get that whole thing in. There are no red flags, no red lights, nothing. You got 2 minutes and that's it. And of course, you could visit our blog, visit our website, toastmasterspodcast.com. You could download all the episodes there if you don't have iTunes. Until next time, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.